Hello, I'm Ruth. Welcome to A Quiet Life. It is great to be here with you. This is episode 69 of A Quiet Life, and as I record this, it is Wednesday the 3rd of June 2020, and I didn't sleep enough last night for various reasons. Not serious reasons, just nothing's wrong, but just didn't get enough hours of sleep. So I've treated myself to a real coffee today, and I usually drink decaf, and I am enjoying it very much. So there you go, good comes out of that. I thought I'd share that with you. I am sitting here, the sun is creeping through my window, and I've got a coffee in front of me, and I think I'll make it through the day. Hooray! But yes, what to say today, because, I mean, this year, my goodness, and there's even more sadness and pain being expressed in the world this week than there was even last week, and at least in the world that I'm a part of, and, you know, yeah, I'm not in a bombed out city in Syria, or, you know, I'm not in famine, I'm not in a refugee camp. I'm so grateful for what I have, but I can't pretend that I'm not affected by protests and riots that are happening in the United States, especially as my sister lives there. It feels very close. And so I just wanted to say today in this podcast, because I just feel like I can't say nothing. I do stand against racism, and I also realise that in Australia, we are not immune from this. There's been so many deaths in custody. There's racism in our police force as well. And if we need to do better, we need to do better. It's so much grief in this situation. But when I think about it and pray about it, a verse keeps coming into my mind, and it's this verse. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And I think it's not all we can do, but it's one of the biggest things that we as Christians can do is to turn to God in this situation, to humble ourselves before him, to search our own hearts and to ask for his forgiveness and pray. And prayer changes things. It's important. And ask him to heal the land. And maybe also you are being called to advocacy or to protest or something bigger. But let's start that with seeking God's face and listening to him and doing what he asks. And part of why I do this podcast is to show us all that we can stand up for God wherever we are, wherever we work, whatever part of the world we find ourselves in, that we don't have to go into, you know, overseas mission or whatever to make a difference, that God can use us where we are. I mean, you may be called overseas mission, but God can also use us where we are. And so, you know, if you need a bit of encouragement that God can use you where you are, please feel free to go through the backlist and have a listen to a few of the other stories and see how God has used the different people that I've talked to. I think the stories are amazing, you know, what God called people into. I remember right near the beginning, Patricia's story about how she's there, she's 80 years old, and God's called her to prison ministry. You know, let's ask God what he's calling us into. Let's ask him to show us how we can reach out to the people around us. Because I truly believe that relationship with Jesus is the best way that we can live our lives, and that we are all called to reach out to those around us and share the good news of Jesus. Anyway, today's interview is with Christine. And Christine, I just really appreciate that she took the time to share with us. She's a very private person, and yet she was willing to sit down and chat with me and share her story. And she shares some beautiful times where she sees God caring about even the little things in her life. And I know you'll enjoy this chat with her. So yeah, let's listen to what Christine has to share with us. Today's guest is Christine, and Christine is a violinist, and she also plays piano, she tells me, and she's a real blessing to our church because she helps out in the worship teams, and she's married to Alan, and they have 3 grown-up boys, quite grown-up boys, mm-hmm. And yes, and you're very welcome to the podcast, Christine.
Thank you.
So start where we normally do. How did you become a Christian?
Well, I can't really pinpoint a day or an hour or anything because I grew up in a very lovely Christian family where my parents always, you know, God was just such a part of their everyday life. Mm. And so I was just, you know, that was embedded into me from even before I was born. You know, they would pray for us every day. Mm. But there certainly came a time in my mid-teens, and it was particularly when I went to uni, where I was just very aware that God was really interested in me, and not just, it wasn't just for my parents, but I discovered that God was really involved in my life. And I went to some Bible studies at uni, and a couple of different areas, I suppose. I was very interested in, well, my husband, Alan, he wasn't my husband at that stage, but he was really into apologetics and, you know, explaining the intellectual facts why Christianity is true.
Mm.
And that was very convincing on one hand. And the other hand, for me, as I faced challenges and new things as a young adult, to find that I could pray to this God who I'd called my Heavenly Father all my days, and to discover that he really was there for me. And would answer the most amazing prayers sometimes that took me by surprise. Didn't think he'd be bothered with little things, but
Do you have a story about it?
Oh, well, I can think of one in particular. And of course, as you get older, you realize God doesn't always answer the prayers that you want in the way that you want.
Yeah.
But I think as a young person who needed guidance, this was just one little example.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were overseas at the time, and, you know, I was pretty green, 18-year-old, pretty naive, very dependent on my parents, and they always helped me make big decisions. But my violin teacher was saying I really needed to get a better violin, and Mum and Dad had sort of said they were behind this idea and they'd, you know, provide it, and the time came, and a violin came to the university for me to try out, and I liked it. You know, it was great. I loved it, but I couldn't contact my parents, and I could have didn't really I felt I couldn't make a decision without them.
Yeah.
Because it was their money,
yeah,
after all. And I remember going home one day, and I shared a house with my sister who was at uni, and we prayed about it because we thought $2,000 in those days was actually a lot of money. It's not much now. But we needed to let these people know whether they're interested or not. And so we prayed about it. And then I went out to check the mail. And there happened to be a letter from Mum and Dad's investment company, whatever, saying that $2,000 was going to mature for me in the next couple of weeks. So for me, as an 18-year-old who hadn't had a lot of experience of God intervening in little tangible ways, that was a big thing.
Yeah,
and I suppose because we'd bothered to pray about it, even though I thought, well, I don't know how God's going to fix this one. But that was just a little thing, I suppose, just reminding me that, hey, actually God is involved in little nitty-gritty things that we think he's too big for.
Yeah.
And while, sure, as you get older in particular, life isn't as always as easy as that because we need to be stretched and our faith needs to be challenged.
Yeah.
But, that was just one little example.
Yeah. I think that also if you've had those times as a younger person, as you mature, you hold on to them.
Absolutely.
Even when the answers aren't coming as clearly as they used to come before, you go, well, I still know God did this for me in the past.
And, that's right. Yeah. And that's only, that's been my experience all along.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was a time, I know I've shared this so many times, my listeners are probably getting sick of it, but when I was about 30, I realised that I had to be all in or all out, and I made the decision to be all in and got baptised. Was there a time like that for you?
Yes. Probably in my mid-teens, and I went to a youth camp. I think that was the first time. And then when I was at uni, when I met Alan, my husband, he was just so out there in your face as a Christian, you know, and he was certainly not afraid to let people know what he believed. And And I think that helped me be a little bit braver about sorting out really where I wanted my life to head.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Alan's not very quiet about
not really quiet about anything.
And I'm hoping to interview him soon too. So what do you do for a job?
Well, I play the violin in the Tasmanian Symphony Orchestra, which is great fun. Quite hard work in its own way, but in other ways it's also delightful, and I don't get sick of it. And I also have a few, six at the moment, music students, little kids that I teach privately. But, yeah, it's a wonderful privilege to play in the orchestra, and, it provides all sorts of challenges and wonderful highs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting amazing people and having a lot of opportunities that are really fantastic. Yeah. So I'm very grateful for that.
So did you always know that's where you were heading?
Well, music was part of my life from day one too. But I didn't really decide I was going to be a musician until the end of grade 12 when, you know, my choices were out there, and I thought, I always practice every day. I love doing it. I don't want to stop. So it seemed logical to go to the con. And at the time, Hobart Con was the place to go for string players.
Mm.
So it was right there on a platter.
Mm.
So I was very spoiled. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know that a lot of people, when they're looking at music for a living, are sort of like, well, the choice is... Yeah, basically teach at a school or teach privately.
Well, that's right. And I never really expected that I would get a full-time position in the orchestra. I suppose I was always thinking, well, teaching would be a great life.
Mm.
I was happy to do that. But when I actually landed a full-time job, I was a bit gobsmacked, really. But, you know, it's been a wonderful gift, a wonderful provision that I am very thankful for. And, you know, I can always do a bit of teaching on the side, but, yeah, it's a bit selfish really, isn't it? Music for your own enjoyment rather than teaching other people, which is really, for me, harder.
Yeah. That's life in the creative arts though, really,
it
isn't
is.
It?
It is, yeah,
it's absolutely. The same with writing. I mean, if I didn't enjoy the writing, then I couldn't live the life I'm living. I don't actually understand people who say they don't enjoy writing, but they still do it for a living because
it's just why
it'd be too hard. I think something about that creativity is just so fun. And so life as a full time musician is not 9 to 5.
No, it's every week is different, which sometimes it's variety, which is great. Just makes it a little bit hard to be kind of committed to anything else on a regular basis. But we do get good holidays, though. Like we get 6 weeks over summer and a couple of weeks interspersed during the year, and there are weeks where it might just be the brass doing stuff. Like some weeks we'll just do recording. Some weeks we'll do educational workshops, things like that. And then, of course, we have our major concert seasons that keep us pretty busy with rehearsals and performances. But never a dull moment, and a huge variety of stuff within that, everything from Vivaldi to Lady Gaga and everything in between sometimes. So,
Awesome. So how do you show your faith in your work?
Right. Well, there's a few ways, I suppose. The main one in my whole motivation in that in everything I do, I just want to honour God and please him. And so I'm not doing it for myself.
Mm.
I am a perfectionist, and I want to do the best I can, and I'm not really satisfied until I'm feeling I've done my best.
Mm.
But always I kind of feel, well, it's God who I'm really wanting to please.
Yeah.
And so if I've done my very, very best, you know, then what more can I ask for, you know? And I just want to please him in my behaviour and attitudes and everything, I suppose. And there's another aspect as a performer, you know, there's a lot of confidence, and you've got to kind of be able to project and be a bit out there at times, and that's not me. I'm quite introspective sort of person, and I don't like the limelight. I'm really happy sitting in a sea of violins where I'm just a team player, and I just love that, blending in, you know. And so the occasional time where I've had to actually stick my neck out a bit and perhaps take a bit more of a lead role or something, thankfully I don't do that very often, but I find that very hard. And so times like that I really need to draw on God's strength, I suppose, to help me face the things that I find hard. And it does happen sometimes. And, you know, even if you've been doing this for 30 years, you still get nervous. And so learning to cope with that. But it's great to know that, you know, God's got my back, that even if I get nervous, I've done my best. And there are times where he has really quite miraculously carried me through and made me stronger than I thought I could be. So, yeah, and the other thing too, I suppose, just in my relationships with other people, I really am aware that, you know, as a Christian, it's important that I show them respect and, you know, encourage them and, yeah, just be the sort of person that God would want me to be in my workplace.
Because I can imagine in that sort of performing arts realm there'd be quite incredibly conflicting personalities.
Yeah, there can be, although they're a wonderful bunch. I really get along well with all my colleagues. And, you know, well, you do get a few colourful characters, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Takes many times.
Yeah, that's
true. And that's, yeah. No, it's a great place to work.
Yeah. That's awesome. Cool. When do you feel close to God?
Yeah, well, certainly when I'm by myself than with groups of people, although there's something wonderful about lifting the roof with our singing and our music at St. Clement's, that's wonderful. But I suppose for me, quiet places, beautiful outdoor places, you know, go for long walks and just see the beauty that God's made. And I find that, you know, less distracting. And then I feel, you know, it's good to really bare your soul before God in those times. Yeah, but I do a lot of walking, so that's really great to, you know, sort of try to focus in, you know, here's some time I can think about God and what he's doing while I'm out there enjoying the nature and getting exercise.
Ticks all the boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. I'm getting that feeling now too, yeah. Started doing more walking and it's
good.
It's really good. Yeah. I think, was it Canon J. John, he said that Jesus walked everywhere and that God, you know, moves at walking pace. And I really love that thought.
Yes. I think it's good. And a little bit of movement for me. I'm a bit of a fidgety person. I don't actually sit still that much. So it's good for me to just have a gentle, gentle pace going on while I think about things.
Yeah, absolutely. What's one thing about God and Christianity that you wish everyone knew?
Well, I suppose going back to what I was saying at the beginning, the fact that God is actually so much more interested in us than we dare to believe, actually. I think he's really wants to be involved in so many areas of our life, and we tend to think, oh, he's up there, he's too busy, I'm not important because he's got all this other stuff to deal with. But look, if it's really important to me, then to know that I can actually bring it to God and pray earnestly, and you know, he might necessarily answer the way I want, but doesn't mean he hasn't heard, and he will answer in whatever way is right. And just to find that nothing is too small for him to be concerned about if it's a concern to me. That is probably
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes,
I know people who get upset with people for praying about parking spots. It's that little cartoon of two people trying to pull into the same parking spot, and it's like they both prayed for it. but sometimes I think the parking spot's actually important to me.
It can be. And sometimes it can have a lot more significance in a chain of events for other things that we're not aware of. But
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. And God can oversee all of that.
Yeah.
So it's trusting him, I guess, not to answer the way you want him to answer, but trusting him that he still cares about the little things anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, that's really important.
Mm. And it's a very secure knowledge, just knowing that whatever happens, and, you know, I've been through a few adventures in my life over the years, but just to know that whatever happens, he's there for me, carrying me, and nothing's too much of a problem for him.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is there any adventure you'd like to share with us?
Well, I suppose the most recent one is when my husband Alan had a heart attack in Indonesia last year, when he was on a Indonesian government sponsored a group of school principals from Australia to go and do a tour of the country, visiting schools and just general cultural things. It was great, really, all paid for, lovely.
Fantastic.
Except for while he was there, he had this heart attack, and or two actually. And it was a scary time because we realised how wonderful Australia's health system is. And while the people there were amazing and kind and everything you could want in, you know, care, their medical expertise was sadly lacking in some areas, and so he certainly didn't get the care that he would have had here. But
And he couldn't be moved.
No, that's right. So he was in a fairly very unwestern area of Indonesia where the hospitals were crowded with locals sort of sitting with their families having lunch on the floor and in the passageways and nothing like we would know here. And he knew, having had some heart issues before, that they were not following protocol that was really pretty basic for his condition.
Yeah.
So anyway, to cut a long story short, we were blown away by the care of the Indonesian people there. The hotel owner who was looking after the school principals decided that she would fly me over at her expense.
Wow.
To help Alan as he recuperated, put me up in the hotel, and when he came out of hospital, we were there for a week or so, 10 days, and nothing was too much trouble. You know, come and eat whatever you like, whenever you like, at the restaurant. We'll give you a taxi driver. Wow. You know, these are absolute strangers who were bending over backwards, Hindu people of another faith who bent over backwards just to be caring to us. And that was a really humbling experience. And then so many people praying for Alan, our church, work, friends, family, whatever. He actually made a miraculous recovery because while the tests said that his heart attack was very serious, when they did all the tests afterwards, it showed there was absolutely no damage to his heart. And the specialists were all predicting what they said would be 30% damage, whatever that means. But and all that time we just felt just carried by God the whole time. It was scary, and I remember getting on the plane to go over there, and I thought, with one day's notice, I've never actually flown internationally by myself before. I'd only ever done it with work, with the orchestra, and Ned looked after me, and I felt quite, like a little girl there by myself. But every step of the way, just God provided in miraculous ways, brought us home safely, and, you know, he's recovered really well, and he's, in fact, I think, more passionate and more determined now to do his job at the school with a new awareness that God's protected him and given him this calling. And so that's been another, one of the many experiences in our life where we've just seen God intervene, provide and carry us, and then looking back, teach us. We can see actually some good things that have come that we've learned, and maybe even other people as well. So no adventure is out of God's plan. You know, he can use whatever happens to teach us stuff and to help us in whatever our calling is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing with us, Christine. It's
been wonderful.
Let me say this quote again because I just think it's amazing. No adventure is out of God's plan. He can use whatever happens. I just love it. Thank you, Christine, and I hope that that gives you hope as you step through another week. Next week, we will have another chapter from my year of saying no. It's about figuring out when to push yourself and when not to. I look forward to sharing that with you next week. Special thanks to Catherine Joy from Joy Music House for the music for this podcast. And remember that you can get in touch with me, ruth@ruthamos.com.au, find me on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author, or Twitter at A Quiet Life, and I will chat to you again next week.